Welcome to Motivate Your Child Action Plan, audio session number 9. It's in this session that we put everything together. We're going to take all of the different components that we've talked about, and we're going to talk about how they all work together in this last component, which is coaching. So what we want to do is we want to look at the visioning, and then we want to look at the firmness. We want to look at the teaching and the spiritual strength, but we want to implement those with a coaching kind of attitude. So coaching is going to be a very important way to top things off, and it really goes back to what we talked about in the very beginning about developing relationship with children. We want to start with relationship, build it foundationally in ways that are just strengthening who we are together as a parent and child. But now we're going to use relationship to move the process forward. And so we want to talk a little bit more about coaching here.
The coaching component of your plan is a way to think about the plan in general, a way to think about your relationship with your child. It's an attitude that we have as parents to coach them, our children, along in life, to communicate a sense to our children that we're on the same team here. We're moving in the same direction. I'm trying to help you to be successful. I've got some ideas, some suggestions, some skills you need to develop. Let's work together toward the goal so that you can be successful in life, so that you can do well in relationships and you can manage yourself and you can grow and mature in a way that's going to work for you as you continue on doing the things you want to be doing in your life. So this coaching attitude becomes a way of communicating to the child that we're going to work together at this. It's not going to allow the problems to come between us, but we're going to conquer problems together. We're going to overcome them together as we move forward.
Coaching uses relationship to accomplish the task. It says, I'm on your side. I'm going to work with you here. Let's go forward. So you're going to use relationship in a number of ways. You're going to use it sometimes to say to a child, look, our relationship's at stake here. The way we're interacting over our morning routine is causing conflict between us. Let's work together in order to solve the problem of morning routine so that we still have a close relationship. That's using relationship as a tool to accomplish the end result by focusing on it as the thing we're trying to make better. The other times where we're coming alongside a child who's struggling in an area and we're using relationship to empathize with that child, to say, okay, I understand that this is hard for you to deal with your anger. Let me come alongside you here and I'll kind of coach you through this. We've got to have a way of working together that's going to work. So the coaching attitude is going to make things come together in a more positive way because it uses relationship.
Now, I've learned a lot about coaching over the last few years by watching my husband coach Little League Baseball. In fact, as my sons have grown up through the baseball program in our town, they have, over the years, become coaches themselves. They just love the sport of baseball, but also enjoy working with kids. And so in the adult years, my sons and my husband have coached together. And to watch them work with the kids in a coaching attitude has been really fun for me. You know, I used to think that a coach just showed up for the game and made sure that everybody played by the rules and took turns, did a batting order and that sort of thing. But I see now that the coach does a lot of strategizing. The coach watches the players, sees areas of weaknesses, highlights them, strategizes for change, identifies a particular area where they need to grow in, and helps them to practice that particular area. So after a game, my husband and my son would come home and talk about the players. Did you see how the pitcher dropped his shoulder there, and that's why he was getting off track? And did you see when the batter was swinging, they took his eyes off the ball, and you know that was the problem there? And they look at where the problem areas are and then develop strategies, routines, practice sessions even to strengthen them, the players in those particular areas. So I think that's often what we want to be doing as parents. We want to be watching our kids, see where they get off track, looking at those areas of weakness, developing a strategy to help the child to change, and then set a practice session. So they're developing a new skill and they're practicing it. So in that way, we are coaches. Every day as we're working with our kids, we're coaching them towards success. And that becomes a really important way, I think, of looking at our plan to move the child from point A to point B. We're going to coach our child down the path.
I'm really impressed with Ed. He has continued to coach now, even after his kids are grown and out of Little League, when most parents would say, okay, I'm done with this. He has continued to coach through the years, even though the children he's coaching aren't his. And he's had a real influence on the league. In fact, he took over the presidency of the league And his goal at that point in doing so was to change the competitive nature of the of Little League. Not to take away the competition, but to take away some of the abusiveness, the yelling at umpires and yelling at players and coaches yelling at each other and parents yelling from the stands. And so he developed a whole attitude in Little League in our town called Honor the Game. And he did a lot of work to bring our biblical concept of honor that we teach every week. He brings that into playing baseball and helping players know how to treat other people with respect and parents knowing how to do that as well. He has expectations for everyone of how they're to manage themselves. And if someone can't toe the line, they're creating conflict and yelling at people, then he removes them from the situation. Just a great influence on the game. He's a good coach and loves helping students move from where they are at point A to where they need to be at point B. He doesn't just work with students to help them with baseball either. Just last night he was telling me about he's got two students. One he's trying to help learn how to follow instructions, and another he's working on anger issues. That's Ed Miller. I love what he does with coaching, and he takes that coaching into the personal relationships with the players. I think we can learn a lot from him, and I think we take that coaching now into our families. We say, how can we coach our kids to move them from where they are to where they need to be in the, can we say, game of life? How can they be more successful?
It's fun to watch Ed working with his players. Sometimes he's working on baseball skills, the fielding and the hitting, and other times he's working on life skills, the anger management and responding well to correction. There are a lot of life lessons learned through baseball, but Ed takes that into the home as well and works with the kids one-on-one sometimes, helping them to be successful at life. So that's the coaching attitude I think that we can all learn from. We want to coach our kids to move forward in life, identifying the areas they need to work on, and then helping them to develop better skills in those areas.
One of the students that Ed worked with had a real anger problem on the mound. 10-year-old boy getting angry a lot. And he tried to work with him with his anger, but it wasn't working. So Ed brought him to me and I worked with him and we developed a T-chart. And I asked this young man, what is your plan? I can't give you a plan for anger management. I can help you develop one. And so we went through the different parts of the plan that we've talked about here in these sessions and tried to help this young man develop a plan for himself that he embraced, that he took on for himself. We transferred responsibility to him so that he could start making some changes. Parents had some ideas, the coach had some ideas, I had some ideas, but the child needed to develop a plan for himself. It's really fun to watch that boy handle his anger. He was a pitcher, and he discovered some things that didn't work for him. He changed the way he thought, he changed the way he acted and responded to bad pitches, and in the end was able to develop some new character of self-control and being more easygoing, flexible, I would say, and so that he wouldn't take the bad pitches as such a personal offense, and he was able to do well moving forward. So that's the kind of thing we bring home now and help children to do. How do we help children make those changes so that they can also learn, develop a plan, and try to move forward in their own lives?
So we would suggest, as you think about your strategy to move your child from point A to point B, you're looking for ways to communicate an attitude of coaching to your child. I'm on your side. I'm on your team. I'm not just picking on you, but I'm helping you to be successful. One mom told us how she was working with her teenage son, and he was procrastinating a lot. He was putting things off, and she was feeling like it was damaging their relationship as she continued to remind him to do the things he was responsible for. And so one day it was time to remind him to do something. So instead of her usual pattern that created defensiveness in him, she just sat down next to him and said, "Now let's talk about something. What do you think is the difference between nagging and reminding?" He thought for a minute. He said, "I get it, Mom." And he got up to do the task he was supposed to be working on. What we're doing is we're looking for ways to build a relationship, to communicate. "Hey, I'm trying to help you here. Let's talk about this together." Sometimes it means extra dialogue. Sometimes it just means encouragement. "You can do this. I think you're moving in the right direction. I know you're struggling, but I think you've got it. Let's try again." It's an attitude that we're saying, "Come on, keep trying."
When I work with children to develop a T-chart plan in my office, parents are watching because I like to counsel with children while parents are watching so they can learn from the process as I'm working with the child. When we get all done with a plan and the child feels like he's got something to take home and start working on, I ask him one more question. It's really the coaching question, and now is when I involve the parents in the counseling session a little bit more. I say to the young man or the young woman, I say, now, when you find yourself getting off track, how do you want your mom or dad to work with you? What do you want them to say or do to remind you that you need to make a change? That's the coaching question. It's saying to the child, your parents or your coaches, they're there when you start to get off track because they're the ones who are going to see it. And when they do, they can help you to make adjustments. You have to help them understand how, because if there's some particular ways that irritate you now, or there's some ways that they work with you that make you feel angry, then you want to lay that out and give them some suggestions on how they can respond. So kids say all kinds of things. They can give me a signal, or they can just say my name, or tell me to think about it, or something like that. Kids think of all kinds of ideas, and parents are willing to try those because parents have to correct children. The goal here is to help kids see their parents in a different light so that children can respond better to the promptings that parents give to help those children change.
What we're looking for is ways to help our children to see the problem and make an adjustment. And so we want to raise the awareness level of what's going on. I like the idea of asking the child to give us some ideas. How can I point this out to you when I see it happening? Sometimes we develop silent signal, just putting up a finger that reminds the child, think about that. Sometimes it's a word we say. It's not calling attention to the problem in an obvious way that other people pick up on the fact that the child is being corrected, but it's a way of partnering with the child, saying, hey, I'm going to point this out in kind of a private way so that you see it and can make the adjustment. It's a great way to communicate that coaching attitude. It's a great way to work together with the child to communicate, we're on the same team here. Let me help you because I see the problem before you see it, and I want to remind you to think about it.
And sometimes kids just need more perspective, just so they can, we as parents can see something they can't see. One dad told us a story about how he helped his son feel better about correction. He was actually hanging a picture, and he hung it on the wall, and then he tipped it up a little bit, and we looked at it, stood back and looked at it, and it was off center. So he went and tipped it the other way, and it was still off center. So he said to his son, would you help me know when this is straight? And I'm going to move it up and down here. You tell me when it's straight. So he adjusted the picture a little bit up on the one side until his son says, right there. And his dad said, great, thanks. I just was too close to it. I couldn't see. I didn't have the perspective I needed. You know, it kind of reminds me about correction, because sometimes I, and you probably, find yourself in a situation where you're so close to the situation, you can't see when you need a correction. And that's one of the gifts that correction provides, is it helps us make a change midstream. So I hope you'll be responsive to me. I don't correct you because I'm trying to pick on you. I don't correct you because I'm trying to be mean to you. It's part of my job. And it's because I love you that I see you heading down a path that sometimes scares me. Sometimes you're heading down a path that I know is not the right path. It's probably sometimes not even the path you want to go on, but you may not realize it. And so we got to have a way to work together when correction comes our way.
I really like that. Helping children to have a positive view of correction, helping them to see that when we correct them, it's not a personal attack. We're not saying you're a bad person, you know, a dummy. What we're saying is, hey, I want to help you. And so seeing correction in that light, helping children to envision correction as something positive, something helping them, like straightening a picture or, you know, getting some food off your face or something like that. I think helping children see that correction is good for them, and having some games that we might even play and helping them to correct us and see that correction is good. We like correction because it helps us not look silly in front of others. And that's what we want to be doing, is correcting our kids and giving them a positive view of correction.
The point here is that you want the parent and child to be on the same team. Sometimes parent and child have a problem in their working relationship or a problem the child's working on, and that problem gets between the parent and the child. So now we have the parent and child battling over the problem. It's often better to have the problem outside somewhere, way off in the distance, kind of, and the parent and child together looking at that problem, trying to troubleshoot, problem solve about it. It's that kind of an attitude that we're trying to develop with our kids so that Our kids are viewing themselves in a different way. Sometimes our children are very threatened by the fact that we might point out something they're doing wrong. They become defensive. They start blaming the problem on others. They justify themselves or rationalize the situation. Sometimes children even get angry just to put up this barrier so you can't get close to them or can't correct them if you wanted to. All of that is a sign of weakness. And so what we're trying to do is build a relationship with the child in the midst of life situations that allows the child to feel more comfortable with the relationship between parent and child. It also puts the parent at a good place too. So the parent now is focusing more on building that relationship than maybe was in the past.
One of the indicators that it would be a good time to start building a relationship, to work on a coaching attitude, would be when you see defensiveness in your child. If your child is responding to correction by defending, by pulling back, by putting up some walls of defensiveness, that might be the indicator to you as a parent that you need to step back and look for a different approach. Look for a different way to address the problem. Maybe it means a sit-down discussion, a meeting with the child, just to talk about, you know, I'm trying to help you in this area, but you seem to be bothered when I correct you. Let's talk about that. Often discussion can bring out some different attitudes in the child as they see our side of the problem. We're not just picking on you, but this is a concern and this is why it's a concern. Let's dialogue about it. And then the child can become more responsive to the correction times that are part of your plan to move forward.
This coaching relationship takes place between a parent and child in many different ways. I'm often amazed at the different ways that a parent-child relate that draws closeness to the relationship. Sometimes the parent and the child have a humor that they share where they kind of joke about life that works. I would say generally that's dangerous, but sometimes it works for some families where humor becomes a way that they partner together in the midst of challenging situations. Other times it's sit-down, dialogue kinds of things. Other times there's questions asked. I would think questions would be a big one. One mom, in the midst of one confrontation, she got resistance from her son. She says, "Wait, am I doing something wrong here? I'm trying to correct you. Am I doing this the wrong way? If you got an idea, let me know, because I have a job here to correct you, but I want to do it in a way that's most effective for you and for me. So let me know what you think." And just that kind of an approach caused her daughter to back down just a little bit. So that is what we're looking for. How can we approach the situations that we have in life in a way that draw out relationship a bit more and bring the parent and child closer together to accomplish the tasks?
I think asking questions can be really helpful because so often our children have a very different perspective than we do. They never have occurred to them the perspective we have. They only see it their way. And so by asking questions, understanding their perspective, then sometimes we earn the right to share our own perspective. You know, when you're dressed like that, this is what it communicates to me. What are you trying to communicate? I think helping children to see, to share their perspective, to be listened to, not corrected, not with critical listening, but, oh, that's a really interesting point of view. I wouldn't have thought of it that way. This is the way I see it. Just a sharing of ideas, a sharing of perspective can bring some new light to the situation. And from that point, then you can move toward a solution.
You know, parents have to change sometimes the way they relate to their kids. We have personalities as parents, and our personalities gravitate toward particular dynamics in the relationship, and sometimes those grate on another child. And so we have to adjust the way we relate. Some parents, for example, are doers. They get things done. They're type A personalities. They accomplish a lot. But in the midst of that, sometimes their harshness comes out or they appear to be intense and the child perceives the intenseness as harshness. And the parent says, "I wasn't trying to be harsh. I'm just trying to get things done." And maybe the solution is to use a quieter voice or to pause a moment before giving the instruction in order to change the coaching style a bit. Sometimes the way that we work with children is so important in that it changes the dynamic in the relationship to meet the child's particular needs. So a real sensitive child is going to need something different than the child who tends to be insensitive. Or the child who's more emotional is going to need some more work or a different kind of work than the child who's not emotional. In any situation, we're going to have to change the way we interact with that child in order to bring about some dialogue and movement forward.
And I think sometimes as parents, we don't recognize how we're coming across to the child. Maybe there's a tone of voice that we're using that we don't even see it in ourselves. There's a harshness there. We have a goal in mind. We're heading toward the goal. And we don't recognize how we're communicating. I think it's helpful to step back and ask ourselves, how do I sound as I'm talking to my child? Is my tone of voice encouraging? Or is it just moving toward that goal? And maybe there's some harshness in my tone that I need to be more thoughtful about. So considering the tone of voice, considering how we communicate to our children is another aspect of coaching. It's another way to communicate relationship, having a tone of voice that's encouraging, a tone of voice that says, come on, I want to share something with you that I think is going to be helpful. So watching our tone is another aspect that we want to be thinking about.
You're moving your child from point A, that is where a problem exists, to point B, which is a heart quality of some kind that the child needs to develop. You're using all of these techniques of firmness and visioning and spiritual strength and teaching, and the coaching really provides the attitude to get there. And so you're asking the child, okay, we're trying to move over here to point B. You've got ideas to get there, that'd be great. I've never raised a Billy before. If you've got some ideas, please let me know. And you're trying to move along to get to that next place with the child. Now, sometimes the child's resistant to that. You're still going to say to the child, look, I'm trying to work with you here. There's an easy way and a hard way to do this. If you can work with me, then it'll be a lot easier. And if you've got some ideas about how I can do this better, that's fine. But we still have to move forward. So we're not making it optional that we're going to point B, but we are trying to tailor our particular approaches in a way that matches the child's needs. So as we put this together in the plan, we're asking ourselves the question, how can I accomplish this better? What is the methodology I want to use to communicate this? Sometimes parents, they see something that's right or wrong, and they know how to fix it or change it, and so they come on pretty strong with their kids to try to make some adjustments. What we're saying is let's choose the not only what's right to do, but let's think about how we're going to do it, because sometimes you can be right and wrong at the same time. You can be right that we're going in a particular direction. You can be wrong in the way you handle it, and that does not work. So we've got to try to be not only right in where we're going, but right in how we handle it as well.
And we want to recognize, too, that coaching doesn't always mean just making the child feel good about what's going on, but often the coaching is through a difficult experience. As we think about a coach working with an athlete, often that coach is pushing the athlete beyond what he thinks he can do, to exercise a little bit longer, to stretch a little further, to work a little bit harder at this, to press on when you feel like quitting. There's some really important aspects of coaching that we can bring into the parenting relationship as we're pushing children beyond what's comfortable for them. We're helping them develop skills that they don't have yet. So the pushing side of coaching is also an important part, but we're going to do it with an attitude of being helpful, not being harsh.
I think it'd be good to think about the coaching we do in the terms of three areas, three responsibilities we have with our kids. One is in the area of instruction. We give kids instructions that they need to follow. And so as we talk to kids about following instructions, we need to have a way of giving instructions, and the child needs a way of receiving instructions that works. So just troubleshooting the whole instruction, giving and receiving process in a family can do a lot to raise the relational quotient in a home so that the friction level decreases. Talk about following instructions, receiving instructions, and that can go a long way. A second area of dealing with that we deal with in family life has to do with correction. We have to correct children. It's just part of our job. Kids get off track. Sometimes it's willfully getting off track, and sometimes they just wander off the path and need to be corrected. But correction is part of the job description of a parent. So talking about how to correct a child or ways that are most effective is valuable. Having a discussion with your child about the reality that correction is important. And then talk about some of the approaches might improve the relationship. When kids give advice and parents start taking it, the child is often more responsive to the situation. The third area that we want to work on and that we have to work on is setting limits for children or saying no. And many times children react to us when we say no. They argue or they badger or they complain. And what we want to do with kids is we want to be able to set limits, but we want to do it in a way that's most productive. We can't just not set limits. We have to be there being the fences sometimes for our children who don't recognize the consequences of their actions. So we need to be able to say no to kids at times, and the child needs to know how to respond to that. Again, all of those are opportunities for us to tweak the interaction process with the child so that the way we're working with the child has a sense of relationship built in.
And I think the way we do those three tasks of parenting with a coaching attitude can mean all the difference in the world, because we want to communicate to children. We're not just giving instructions to get somebody else to do the jobs around here so I have it easier as the parent. We're not just correcting children to point out weaknesses. We're not just saying no to spoil their fun. But all three of those aspects of parenting are done to help the child grow and mature. So the instruction giving, learning to respond to instructions, is to help them to be more responsive to authority, to be more self-controlled, to know how to do tasks. All of those things happen in the instruction process. Correction, of course, is to help keep them on track, help them to stay focused in the right direction. And of course, the limits are important. We all need to live within limits. Even as adults, children need to learn to live within limits, so that saying no, keeping children away from danger by saying no, helping them stay focused by saying no, all of those are important aspects of parenting. And if we can do those things with a coaching attitude and communicate to our children that we have their best interests in mind as we do this, I think we're going to help enhance the relationship between parent and child.
In the book, you're going to see several different coaching techniques, things that characterize a coach. Work through each one of those and try to put them into practice and apply them to your dynamic with your child. As you do, you'll see the relational approach increase. That's what you're looking for. Try to change tendencies in order to move your child in the right direction.
What we're trying to do here is to help children to be successful at life. We're coaching them with the skills they need so that they can move forward, they can develop character, they can respond well in difficult, challenging situations. We've got to coach them through those situations and help them develop the skills they need.
You know, I really like in the Bible how when Jesus was leaving the earth, he told his disciples that he was going to send to them a counselor. Some versions say a comforter. But the word is paraclete, parakletos. And it comes from two Greek words, to come alongside to help is the idea. And that is the role that the Holy Spirit has in our lives. He coaches us, he comforts us, he counsels us. He comes alongside to help us move forward in our own spiritual lives. What we've tried to do in our parenting approaches is study the relationship between God and his people and ask questions about the dynamic that exists between God and his people and apply that to the relationships that we have with our children. If we can understand how God works with us, and then we can take the same principles that God uses as he tries to change us and apply them to our children to help them change, then we're going to not only be using great strategies, following God as our example, but we're going to prepare our children to be able to relate to God and understand him and follow his lead more effectively. That's our goal, is to prepare our children to be disciples ongoing, disciples of Jesus Christ. And so as we correct our children or give instructions or we have to say no, we want to do it in a way that exemplifies the way that God works with us. So as you evaluate your parenting, look for coaching ideas. You might even think about your own relationship with the Holy Spirit and how the Holy Spirit works with you and encourages you and coaches you along, and use some of those same ideas and thoughts to improve your parenting so that your children can see God through you as you try to work with them. So this is a great component to the plan. Don't miss it. Don't jump over it. This ties everything together in a powerful way. Spend some time here. It'll really increase the relationship with your child, but also maximize change as you're trying to bring that about to move your child from point A to point B.
God is moving. Family is hard work. It's worth it all. It's amazing.
family.